Modern movies and TV have downplayed the horror of vampires immensely. Twilight, The Vampire Diaries, and many others depict a modern-day vampire that is gorgeous, glamorous, and sexy. However, historically, vampires are depicted as quite the opposite. Are vampires real? If so, where did they originate? Listen up as I tell you about some legends that may change your mind about vampires. It's Jen, and you're listening to Southern Legends and Lies. Covington, Georgia is the set of many movies and TV shows, one being The Vampire Diaries. Covington becomes Mystic Falls, and you can visit anytime. The town even has a big sign at the Welcome Center that says, "Welcome to Mystic Falls." The square is such a charming area that will bring to mind many backdrops and TV shows. I grew up watching In the Heat of the Night with my mama, who loved Bubba. And yes, Covington was Sparta, Mississippi. You can still see the old police department. This town has been known as Hazard, you know, Dukes of Hazard. Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors was filmed there, as well as many other movies. The Vampire Diaries is why I wanted to visit. We saw the Mystic Grill, Scoops, Lockwood Mansion, 12 Oaks Bed and Breakfast, and the cemetery. I would have loved to see the town crawling with vampires, though. However, there are stores in the square with tons of show merch and even real items on display that were showcased on set. I was looking for a real-life Salvatore brother, but they weren't there when I was. More recently, I've loved watching Sweet Magnolias, which is filmed in Covington as well, instead of the small South Carolina town they are portrayed in. Georgia has quickly become the Hollywood of the South, and filming in the state is constant. The biggest zombie show, The Walking Dead, is filmed all around Georgia, primarily around Atlanta. The town of Sonoya is the set of Woodbury, and the beach scenes were Driftwood Beach on Jekyll Island. There are several The Walking Dead tours, but you can also find the locations and drive by like we've done. The intro scene of The Walking Dead was filmed from a bridge just outside of downtown Atlanta. It's very surreal to see the skyline just as it is seen in the beginning of each episode. Georgia has definitely made vampires and zombies mainstream. But have there always been vampires? What are vampires? The sexy, sparkling vampire is sadly all Hollywood. I know, I want a real-life Salvador too. The truth is, vampires were originally known as big, bloated, smelly beings. They were brought back to life and not necessarily immediately like you now see. It was after they were buried and bodies started decaying. They were described more like what we think of as a zombie, but instead of craving brains, it was blood. Before embalming, bodies were buried rather quickly to prevent people from smelling and seeing the effects of decay. This meant many were buried alive, possibly in a coma or a catatonic state and not dead at all. If the corpse was unearthed for some reason, you would have evidence that they did come back to life, with claw marks trying to get out. If they were dead, they would think the corpse was alive for a while because the hair and fingernails had grown out. However, now we know that does not continue to grow, but as the body decays and skin shrinks, it allows more of the hair and fingernails to become visible. You can see how an imagination could run wild under these circumstances. Many people believe the legend of the original vampire as being the betrayer of Christ, Judas Iscariot. In the book of Matthew in the Bible, Judas was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. However, he betrayed Jesus by disclosing his whereabouts to men that arrested him. For 30 pieces of silver, a rather small amount of money even then, he identified Jesus by a kiss. Jesus was arrested, tried, and executed because of this. After the fact, Judas tried to repent his sin of betraying the innocent Jesus and promised to return the silver to the priests and elders. When they did not accept the silver, Judas threw it on the temple floor and left with the intention of committing suicide. There is said to be a book not included in the Bible, the Book of Agula, written by a Catholic monk in 843 AD. It states that God punished Judas by bringing him back to life after he committed suicide. God condemned him to walk the earth until the final days, where he would fear the sun, leaving him to only roam at night. Judas would not know the comfort of death and would be damned to feed on the blood of living humans. This is very similar to vampiric traits. Sun burns the skin, drinking blood, eternal life. Judas also became intolerant to silver since he betrayed Jesus for the small amount of silver, and the intolerance is a constant reminder of that decision. Judas also feared the crucifix, as this was a physical reminder of his actions that called Jesus to be crucified. Apparently, Judas was able to procreate because these curses applied to all his offspring as well. Little is recorded of Judas after his betrayal, but it is believed that violent clans of vampires in Serbia, Bulgaria, and Romania were said to be the clans of the Iscariots. Judas was said to have the rare trait of red hair, and that all of his offspring were to carry on that trait. I wonder how many gingers there are now that could be vampires. Another legend is that Lilith and Cain were some of the first vampires. Cain was the firstborn of Adam and Eve and was a gatherer and agriculturist. His younger brother Abel was a hunter. Cain became jealous of Abel and killed him. After he murdered his brother, Cain was cursed by God to be the first vampire. God gave him immense powers, yet cursed him with a thirst for blood, the inability to live in sunlight, and many personal demons to overcome. Cain later met Lilith, who claimed to be his father's first wife. Now in the Bible, the only mention of Lilith was that she was a dweller in waste places. However, many legends surfaced about her. One is that she was created in God's image as a vampire. Adam and Eve were later created for her to feed on. Another legend states she was Adam's first wife, and issues arose after Adam began to dominate her, and she rebounded, stating that they should be equals. She escaped the Garden of Eden and was found in a cave by three angels bearing children after she was coupling with the archangel Samael, who some believe is the same as Satan. After refusing to return to the Garden of Eden, the angels cursed her, stating they would kill 100 of her children every day. I mean, how many kids does she have in that cave? Other legends state she finds men while they are sleeping to steal their seed to produce evil creatures. She is thought to be a demon that steals newborn infants and the cause of stillbirths and SIDS. So, is she a demon? Was she really Adam's first wife? Is God a vampire? Man, this is some drama from way back. In the 18th century, a mass hysteria of the fear of vampires emerged in southeastern and eastern Europe. People feared dead would return and visit loved ones and cause mischief. People began staking the corpses to ensure death, and many people were accused of vampirism. Fiction writers began producing works about vampires. In 1819, the publication of The Vampire by English writer John Polidori became highly successful and influenced the modern-day depiction of what we conceive as a vampire. In 1897, Bram Stoker's Dracula novel was published and spawned an entire vampire genre that turned into books, films, television shows, and video games. The vampire is now a dominant figure in the horror genre, whether it was ever real or not. Even today, popular songs such as Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire uses vampires as a metaphor of people that suck the life out of you. And then there's Jason Isbell's If We Were Vampires. where he wishes he could spend eternity with his love like a vampire, but understands, since life is short, he doesn't take anything for granted. Today's society genuinely accepts vampires as the romanticized version TV and books have portrayed. Even my kids watch vampire cartoons. I mean, Adam Sandler as a vampire is the absolute best. There are people who claim to be vampires even today. New Orleans, Louisiana was made famous by author Anne Rice. She is known for many gothic supernatural novels like Interview with a Vampire and The Queen of the Damned. She was born in New Orleans and liked to use the city as a setting in her books. She was entombed in Metairie Cemetery in the city after her death in 2021. With a cult following, her books have only increased the amount of interest in the supernatural world that many feel New Orleans is subjected to. Vampires, witches, and voodoo practitioners flock to the city to hone their skills, make a living, or just live with like-minded individuals. In the 1930s, the Carter brothers of New Orleans claimed to be vampires. In 1932, a young girl that was held hostage in their home managed to escape. She stated she was tied up by the two brothers and held captive so they could drink her blood. They had kidnapped other people for the same reason as well. Police followed her to a home on the corner of Royal and Ann Street and found four other victims tied to chairs and half dead. The brothers left each day before daybreak and returned every evening to drink blood from the victims. The police waited for the brothers to return and apprehended them. They confessed immediately to the crime and begged to be murdered, stating they were vampires, and if they were released, they would have no option but to continue to kill due to needing blood. They were tried as serial killers and eventually executed. The legend of how vampires came to America dates back to 1704. New Orleans was home to many French immigrants. Men came to America to start a life in a new place. They needed French women to keep their lineage pure with their heritage. New Orleans had many African and Native American women, but not French. The king ordered the Bishop of Quebec to choose French women who would be sent to the Sisters of Ursuline Convent in New Orleans. There they would be groomed and refined to be nothing more than good French wives for men in and around New Orleans. In France, they were recruited from church charitable organizations like orphanages and convents and guaranteed to be virgins. After spending 6 months on the ship Le Pelican, the girls were malnourished, seasick, and pale with red, bloodshot eyes. Immediately, rumors began about the girls looking like vampires. This ship was bound for Mobile, Alabama, and made a stop in Cuba, where the girls were attacked by mosquitoes and contracted yellow fever. This made for a miserable journey. Upon arrival, their tender skin burned and blistered in the hot, bright southern sun. They walked off the ship and each retrieved their casquette, or a small chest that held their belongings. At that time, the term casket was not used, as it is now describing a coffin, and the French term for the small chest was casquettes. In 1704, they arrived in Mobile, Alabama. In 1719, Biloxi, Mississippi, and in 1728, New Orleans. The girls were between 14 and 17, and most were married within the month they arrived. These were not all great marriages. Many were battered and mistreated. Most of the girls escaped their new unions and had no choice but to turn to prostitution. The city had enough of that and ordered the convent to take care of the girls. The girls were put in the third floor attic of the convent, rumored to have slept in their casquettes. One night, when a nun went to check on them, they were all gone. They boarded up the windows and nailed the doors shut with nails blessed by the Pope, in fear that the girls really were vampires, like they were rumored to be. Legend states they still sleep in the convent, and if it weren't for the blessed nails, they would attack everyone on the streets. Another version of the tale is that the Caskets actually held their dowry from the king, and they were not allowed to open until marriage. They were locked in the attic. I find it far-fetched to believe they were all vampires from the beginning, but who's to say, while they were out prostituting on the streets, they didn't get hooked up with Cain and his descendants and become transformed into vampires. That's for you to decide. I'm more scared of mosquitoes sucking my blood than vampires. When it comes to zombies, well, that has been traced back to Haiti and voodoo practices. A zombie was the product of spells by a Bokor, a voodoo sorcerer. During the 18th century, many Europeans became plantation owners to supply Europe with sugar and process sugar cane crops. They took many slaves to complete these tasks, and they were treated very poorly. Slave trade in Haiti was one of the most brutal in the world, importing up to 40,000 slaves a year. With such viciously brutal treatment of slaves in colonial Haiti, many slaves turned to suicide to escape the torture. To combat the great loss of slavery, the leaders, who were slaves themselves, started telling the slaves under them that if they committed suicide, they would not be escaping the torture. They would be resurrected as a zombie and forced to work as a slave for all of eternity. Believing in the voodoo tales, the slaves feared this and no longer looked to death as an escape. Zombies were said to be the dead who were resurrected without their soul, the living dead. They can be told what to do, take orders, and never become tired. Books and movies depicted zombies as undead slaves for white people. Then in 1954, Richard Matheson published the novel I Am Legend. In 1968, the movie Night of the Living Dead was released based on that novel. This setting was in Pennsylvania and featured undead people referred to as ghouls. The ghouls were not Haitians, but Americans, and from then on became common to see white zombies. In a twist on the history, the hero of the movie was Ben, played by Dwayne Jones, a black man. This was very rare to see a black hero in movies during the 60s. This single-handedly changed the zombie genre forever. The Walking Dead is probably the biggest zombie show of all time, but other shows like iZombie, Santa Clarita Diet are some of my all-time faves. Movies through the years have taught us how to kill zombies, how people turn into zombies. More recently, it's a virus because that's where our fear lies these days. And building on the zombie genre, after 2000, and even more after COVID, people are obsessed with the apocalypse. With that comes a lot of zombie lore. We recently got to see the new Fallout show based on the game. It showcases ghouls and mutants, and that's a whole other spinoff of zombies. I personally don't think zombies are real, but if we have people that keep experimenting with creating viruses, we just may create something far worse than COVID ever was. However, the entertainment industry has been forever changed, and so much of that adds to our southern legends and lies.